Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org.
Hi, here we are again at the Berg Vivant Bar, one of my favorite places to be. I'm Lonnie the Theater Lady, and this is Mike Mazzelli.
That's right, I am.
And we're here to talk about a play that we saw the other night at the City Theater.
Yeah, Two Lips on an Organ? What was it? Two Lips on an Organ.
Oh, what a comedian.
Four pianos. Wait, I got this. Two pianos, four hands.
Brilliant.
Hands.
Brilliant.
You're saying... Okay.
You're brilliant.
Oh,
yes.
Thank you, because we have discerning opinions, differing opinions about the play.
This play was written by two Canadian playwrights, Ted Dykstra and Richard Greenblatt.
Okay.
And it's actually considered to be...
Oh, the characters are called Ted and yes.
Yes.
Those are the names of the characters as well.
It's somewhat autobiographical.
Ah.
However, not truly. It turns out that Ted and Richard actually met as adults when they were involved in some kind of a theater project.
They lied to us.
And no, nobody lied. And they found out that their lives were parallel in so many ways. Their ages were similar, very close, and they both started piano lessons at the age of six.
Okay, they're forgiven.
They both wanted to be classical pianists, so when they wrote this play...
She said pianists. Sorry, I'm gonna Beavis and Butthead this whole thing. Go on.
Well, I think you're the butthead, but anyway.
Of course I am, sweetie. Of course I am.
But when they wrote the play, they... acted as though they had known each other as friends because their lives had been so similar and their experiences so similar with their love-hate relationship to their piano lessons and how then they really were both striving to be classical concert pianists and then
both took different routes.
Didn't quite make it, you know, made it all the way to conservatory and advanced education. But so when this was first produced, the playwrights played themselves in the play.
Oh, they were playing themselves and they were pianists.
Yes, for over...
pianists playing themselves. Well, that sounds like my kind of party. I'm sorry, go on. No, please.
And they played themselves in this play, I don't know, over 700 times.
Wow.
Before they allowed other cast to come in. And it's very difficult to cast this because the two...
Oh, yeah, because you have to... The one thing, they are very technically proficient piano players.
Oh, they were both wonderful.
Yes.
One of them, I think it was Bob Stillman that played Ted, was studying at Juilliard since the age of six.
Oh.
So the piano talent that we saw on that stage was really remarkable.
The piano talent was remarkable. I'll give you that.
And absolutely loved the variety of the music that they played.
Oh, there was a nice variety.
Mozart, Chopin, Liszt, Billy Joel, Jerry Lee Lewis.
I forgot.
A lot of classical and a lot of fun stuff. Chopsticks.
Chopsticks was even in there. Chopsticks had to be in there, right?
Right.
I mean, that's a given.
But the play traces...
And you got to... If you're doing a show about two piano men, there's a Billy song you just have to do.
Right. Exactly.
It's enforced. I think it's a law, really.
That's
a
And I loved the set. When you came out, there were two grand pianos facing each other.
Yes.
And I thought the opening was really clever. It was sort of like a Victor Borgia kind of a thing.
Here's where
like
we
The old Elizabethan dumb theater, not meaning stupid, meaning unspoken. You know,
oh, yes.
Which
no,
piano
I,
was
I,
which, whose stool was whose. I thought it drew you in immediately because you could see how much humor there was going to be. And
The humor is really my only criticism. I found the humor to be too... Look, here's the joke. And I have an analogy for you. And sometimes when you go into a library, right? Walk into a library. Sometimes it's fun to discover a book on your own. I feel the jokes were like, oh, look, here's the encyclopedia. Oh, look, here's the Bible. Oh, look, here's Moby Dick. I think the jokes were broadcast a little bit too much for me, my taste.
Well, I don't think that your opinion is necessarily the opinion of critics worldwide.
Oh,
this
okay.
has been played over 4,000 times around the world, and the director of this play,
Uh-oh.
Tom Fry, actually played both characters in over 400, is it 400 or 700? And this is the 12th production of this play that he has directed. So was done
that makes
the way
better.
It's meant to be done, and it won a big prize in Canada, the most popular play
popular play in Canada, I'm never going to see theater up in Canada.
Well, I've seen a lot of theater in Canada.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
La-di-da in Toronto.
I think we may have to fight about this one.
But if anybody knows this play, Tom Fry has been with this play for about 15 years.
Oh.
Almost since it opened. Either directing it, acting in it. He's really connected to it. And I watched on the internet, I went and watched the originals.
Oh.
The Ted Dykstra and Richard Greenblatt, how they played it.
Yes.
And they're the playwrights.
Was it played any more subtle?
No. It was played exactly the same way.
And still the best play in Canada.
You better stop it.
Okay.
And if you watch the reaction of the audience.
Well, the audience did love
the
it.
Audience
so, you know what?
Loved it.
I don't want to call a whole audience of people stupid.
So please don't.
So, okay.
Because that would include
me.
Oh,
that's true. A standing ovation,
it
actually.
It did get a standing ovation, a very
it was there, though.
Spontaneous, fast. It wasn't like one person stood up and another. People
yeah, and it wasn't just like friends, too, because these guys are from out of town.
That's right.
So this was this is an actual standing ovation from people that, not like their friends and family.
Right.
And
I thought not only were they great pianists, what great character actors they were.
Okay, she
they
thought
were.
That.
They
she
played,
thought that.
They played various people, themselves, their parents, their music teachers. I particularly liked the portrayal of Sister Loyola.
Oh, okay.
I thought that was really well done and really comical, and so did the rest of the audience.
So did the rest. Everyone but me, ladies and gentlemen. Everyone but me.
So it's that question. Am I crazy, or
maybe,
is the whole world crazy?
Okay, am I crazy, or the whole world crazy? Can't we go with the whole world being crazy? Can't
we? You could try it.
You know what? I'm giving you that they were very good on the piano. Both,
they were excellent.
Both, yes. Yeah, the comedy was too broad for me. I like a little. Subtle comedy. Okay, I know what you're all thinking.
But even the work that went into it, not just producing it, but do you know what they have to do with those pianos?
What?
They have to be tuned twice weekly, polished twice weekly. They have to be protected from fluctuations in temperature, which means that theater is kept at a steady temperature, a little bit cooler.
Oh, it was a little chilly in there. That might have, you know what? I don't like the cold. Perhaps that influenced my decision.
And I like the cold.
Ah.
It's invigorating.
Oh, we might be getting down to something here on Berg Vivant. Ah. Okay.
Yeah.
I might have just been uncomfortable the whole time.
So
it might have just been weather related. Might not have had anything to do with the performance.
I didn't, since I do like the cold, I didn't find it to be too cold.
Oh, no.
It was cool. Your fingers were cold?
No, my fingers were cold. Almost as cold as they are now.
I would have held your hand.
Oh.
You poor baby. So anyway.
Well, this and where so two pianos, four hands. Oh, I got it right this time.
At the City Theater. City Theater. I think it's December 22nd, and I didn't make a note of that in my mind. Brian will put it up on
there. It'll be right under here. Yeah, it'll be down here somewhere.
That's
right. You'll go to black. It'll be there. We'll be fine.
Okay. And my recommendation would be if you enjoy lighthearted fun and wonderful, wonderful music that you can't hear anywhere other than a concert hall, really. They were exceptional. I think it's very pleasant. Very pleasant evening out.
I was told.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.